Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Me like that. I'm scared. Okay.
Caroline, she's a queen of talking. Hey, what's on your mind? She's getting real, not afraid to feel. Take a soul to soul, just let it flow. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Everyone, Morgan Massengill is in the house.
Oh my gosh, hello.
How are you?
I don't know how to act.
What do I do with my hands?
Do I look okay? Do I sound okay? Abby, what's going on? Okay.
We do know she has a side though, because this is her side. There was a special request.
I made a presidential request today to sit in your chair because this is my dimple side.
And as the president, when the president says something, you have to listen, which brings me to my first case in point. Let me give you a quick introduction on Morgan Massengill.
Okay. Here we go.
First off, You may know her from producing the Bobby Bones show. Uh-huh. You may know her from being Bobby Bones' right-hand gal, his manager. You may also know her from Instagram as Dylan? As you may know her from Instagram as Cooper and Dawson's aunt. You may know her from Instagram from Twin Life because she's got a twin and they're hilarious. But most importantly, her newest role, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Drum roll, please.
Drum rolling for myself.
Morgan is the queen.
Oh my God.
And the president. So please stand.
Oh my goodness.
Please stand. Morgan is a queen.
I'm being knighted right now.
Okay.
Can we just talk through what this is that you're putting on?
Yes. Morgan, everyone, please take your seat. Morgan, the queen, the president, or the fairy godmother has entered the building.
You know, someone gets it, Caroline. I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. Is this your daughter?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. How does it feel to be the president of the Nashville Podcast Network, otherwise known as the queen?
Pretty damn good. You know, up until this point, it felt okay. But now that I have a sparkly star in my hand and a crown on my head, it feels right, you know?
I feel like this moment had to happen. All of a sudden, I see your confidence is here. It's like you settled into queen mode as soon as this happened.
I am a Leo, so I feel like Same. This is very fitting for me. It Do is. I need to wear this the entire...
Yes.
Oh, God.
I think you shall.
How's my hair, Abby? Wow. I'm being... Yeah.
Okay. I just think it's great.
I mean, this cape is a little bit warm. It's furry.
It's a strong cape.
And hot pink. I'd say like a pastel pink.
Uh-huh. How's it? Okay.
All right. Well, let's bippity boppy boo. Let's get into it.
I have been waiting for this day for so long. I didn't even know I was waiting for this day because, first off, being on the Bobby Bones Podcast Network has been a dream come true, obviously.
Obviously.
It's so great. It's such an incredible network. Bobby is so encouraging and helpful, mm-hmm. and so is Mike D. But it's like, I didn't even know what I was missing until you showed up. Having a president of the network come in and be you, and like you swoop in here with your magic wand, and then you created this set, and then you got with me, and like within a day we went through my whole podcast brand, and like we had reworked the whole thing, and it's like you just have this ability to see what needs to be done.
Well, that initial meeting with you went really long. Do you remember?
I was fired up about it,
and I was too going in because I feel like you have a really good podcast, Caroline.
Thank you. I've really been working on it for a long time, for 8 years, but I need a president to guide me.
The thing about podcasting is you do it every week until you die. No, I'm just kidding. And but kind of.
Yeah, and you kind of like you lose gauge of what you're even talking about because you're just in your own brain.
You can easily get into the rut of I've been doing this, so I'm churning and burning, I'm putting out episodes, but what are we doing anymore? You know?
Who am I? Who are you? What are we talking about?
I popped in and I was like, what should we be doing? Let's talk about it.
So
and
a little housekeeping here.
Yeah, a little housekeeping because all of the pieces are there of the puzzle. I think it was just us trying to figure out how do we move a few of these around in a way that's new and fresh, but not changing what you do so well.
Exactly. And that's why I'm like, I had no idea that you are this magical creature because you popped in and within one session, it's like, okay, I already feel so much more cleaned up. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like my brain, like, just trimmed the fat so much.
Yeah. And even the guests we've been getting these last few episodes. Ray Lynn.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. If you haven't heard the Ray Lynn episode.
It's so good.
Oh, my. Ray Lynn, do you need a podcast sister?
You know what? Ray Lynn, you should join this network. She should, actually.
She is so hilarious. And
she's a walking podcast.
Y'all had me cracking up. If you haven't heard that episode, so good. Yeah. It's been fun so far. I'll let you interview me. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so I want to do a few little rapid fire questions because when I started thinking about like, what do I need to know about Morgan? Because there's so much that I know about you and I think you're so savvy. Like you're so smart and you're so like confident.
You're gassing me up.
Okay, I'm going to gas you up and then I'm going to just gas you right back down, okay?
Okay. All right, well, we don't have to do that part.
I'm just kidding. There's nothing to gas you down with. Well, I mean, I was just going to maybe talk about like, poop and stuff, but
we can get there because there are some poop problems.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't have poop problems though?
Apparently some people don't, but I'm not one of them.
I mean, everyone struggles with the poop.
But let's save that till later. You were going to gas me up.
Listen, guys, we're going to give you a teaser. We're going to talk about poop. So hang on till the end. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to do a little rapid fire. Cause I was like, there's so much I already have learned about you and I'm already obsessed with, but like, let's go deeper.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay, so let's start off with favorites.
Okay, favorites?
Favorites. Food.
Chicken enchiladas.
Chicken enchiladas.
Very specific, but my mom used to make really good chicken enchiladas growing up, and I've recently kind of figured out, I think, what her recipe was, and I've been eating tons of chicken enchiladas lately. So that's my answer. Okay. Next.
Chicken enchiladas. What's your favorite vacation?
That I've had in my life? Mm-hmm. So I'm a twin, like you mentioned, and this is rapid fire, and I was about to go into a whole tangent.
You can tangent. It can be rapid tangent.
My sister, back in, I want to say 2018, got pregnant with her first child and ended up having a miscarriage at 12 weeks, and it was awful. And I was going through some hard things at that time too, not anything that was even close to what she was going through, but we needed a sister trip. So we, after she had gone through her DNC and everything and had healed up some, we took a trip to Portland, Maine together. And that was just such a life-giving trip for the both of us because I was processing heartbreak at the time and she was processing
a heartbreak, at
a heartbreak and a loss. And man, that was the first time me and her together kind of, we laughed and we enjoyed life together in the midst of like heartache. So
that's a beautiful moment.
Yeah, it was really good. And she actually, we had a moment on that trip because she was testing her ovulation because she wanted to try again. Mm-hmm. And she ovulated while we were on that trip. And that was her first time ovulating since the loss. And I remember, even though the trip was so good, her crying in the hotel room where, and I'm like, Megan, let's just get out and about. Like, God is going to allow you to ovulate again when it's time to have the baby you're meant to have. And a few months later, she got pregnant with my nephew, Cooper. So
was she crying at ovulating because she was missing the window to try?
Yes, she...
And it felt so scary, and it felt like it might not, like, just felt sheer.
She had been waiting for that ovulation strip to show up that she was ovulating for a while. And so the fact that it happened when she's thousands of miles from her husband and knowing that they wanted to try again, it just brought up a lot of really raw emotion for her. And she was still processing losing a child. And so that was a moment we had on that trip. And I just got real with her and was like, Megan, I can't understand what you're going through right now at all. But I know that you're going to have a child here on earth. Like, and God intends that for you. I feel that so deeply in my soul. And a few months later, she got pregnant with my nephew, Cooper. And we talk about that to this day of, you know, there was a reason that she wasn't home that first time, you know. And anyway,
it's hard to have.
This was meant to be rapid fire, by the way. And it's I don't know how to rapid fire.
It's okay. Rapid tangent. It's hard to believe that like there's a plan in place when you're in the middle of like just devastation.
Right.
It's hard to believe that you have to go through that because there's something that's waiting for you that's like going to be good. And you're like, okay, but this is like awful.
And she was in the thick of it. We were in the thick of it. And we at the time were struggling with questions of why things happen the way they do. And it ended up being such a beautiful journey to her getting pregnant and having my nephew Cooper. And now she has another little boy named Dawson that I named him, by the way.
I did. So do you feel like you're kind of like a mom?
I wouldn't say that, but I'm definitely a very in the picture aunt. Like they live in Texas and I fly out there probably no less than six times a year.
You're going at the end of this month.
Yeah. That's, well, I'm hoping to. They don't know that, so. We'll cut this part out.
It's a surprise. It's a surprise.
But, yeah, I go out there all the time because they're just the best part of my life and I love them so much. I feel, like, so silly talking so seriously with this crown on. Would it offend?
No, you can take it off.
If I just take the, I will sit it and I will.
You can do whatever makes you feel good.
Treasure this with my.
Okay, as long as you treasure the moment.
I do.
Wanted you to feel that moment all the way.
I'm gonna start crying in a little in your daughter's cave at some point. How do we look, Abby?
Looking good.
You can't see right now, producer Abby is behind the camera.
Looking like a queen. Princess.
Okay, more rapid fire.
Okay, here we go. So kind of to piggyback, I mean, I still have questions I want to get to, but this is leading me into conversations I want to have with you.
Okay.
Which is twin life, because that could either be like so awesome or so competitive or, you know, like you, I feel like most twins are just so happy they're a twin. Like every time. And also, are y'all from Britain or Italy? Because you say aunt. Aunt. You from Milan? You fancy?
I actually grew up in Milan, Tennessee.
Otherwise known as Milan.
And
Milan.
I don't know why in my adult life I say aunt.
Because so fancy.
I used to call my aunts Aunt Dana. Aunt.
So you went from aunt to aunt.
I don't know.
That's a big jump.
It is a big jump. I think it's because when I started trying to train Cooper of what to call me, I didn't want to be Aunt Morgan. So
aunt Morgan.
Aunt Morgan.
Aunt Morgan is visiting.
She's flying southwest. Yeah.
You can have a spot of tea when she gets here.
From aunt to aunt. Mm.
Fancy. Okay, so twin life. You are a twin.
Yes.
And I relate to Meg a lot because, okay, if you follow Morgan on her Instagram, which y'all should, by the way, because it's very funny, and you make these funny, funny videos, and a lot of times you do them with Meg.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I relate to her. Like, y'all did this one where y'all have to talk about each other's icks,
mm-hmm.
which is so funny in this really weird voice that y'all put a filter over. And she was saying, like, Morgan, you always have to make me camera ready. And then you're like, well, my ick about you, Meg, is that you've been listening to the same playlist your whole life and you don't know who any of the new artists are. And I'm like,
really,
oh my God, I feel her though. I like get in my car and turn on Jack FM because I'm listening to classic rock. I'm like, I don't even know who the new people are, Morgan. I'm so bad.
She cracks me up because we're so similar in a lot of ways, but then in ways like this, we could not be more different. Like, I've made a career in the entertainment and music industry. And so I think I'm a little bit knowledgeable about who is who. And I'll turn on a song for her. And she's just immediate. She thought Granger Smith and Parker McCollum were the same person for
a
second.
They feel similar. They feel like they're in Texas fields.
I guess.
I feel like they belong with a cowboy hat in a field, both of them.
Sometimes I feel like, Megan, you're younger than this. Like, you're not grandma status yet. We have to keep you young and spry.
It's hard to stay young and spry with the TikTok world.
And with kids. Oh, my goodness. She's got her hands so full.
She's watching Cocomelon.
Yeah, Cocomelon, Blippi.
Blippi.
I've watched so much Blippi.
They do Blippi?
So much
Once
Blippi.
Once you do Blippi, it's and hard.
Mika?
Oh, yes. And Mika.
And my nephew, it's from the moment you wake up, he's wanting to watch those shows. And I'm like, let's get outside. Ugh. I mean, Megan doesn't let him just sit in front of the screen, but like.
They are learning shows. Out of all the shows, like, they're learning about things, but it's brutal.
And Peppa Pig. So that's probably why my nephew calls me aunt instead of aunt.
I love Peppa Pig. I like can tell you all my favorite kid shows. I love Mira the Royal Detective. I love Bluey, number one.
Bluey's a good
Bluey's
one.
Bluey's good. I was talking to my friend Bree, who has two kids, and she's like, don't judge me, but I'm staying up late past my kids' bedtime watching the new season of Bluey because it's so funny.
It is coming for other kids' shows next because they are really doing their best.
They are. They're doing it. Okay, so what is it like having a twin? Do you always feel like comforted and safe because you have this other half and like you never feel alone in the world? Or do you feel like, was it competitive growing up? Did y'all want to date the same guy? Was somebody cooler than the other one? Like somebody the boss? What's the vibe?
Being a twin, and I'm going to get mushy for a second, it has been the greatest gift God has ever given me in this life. I was born, Megan, we were C-section babies, and my sister was born first. Megan was a minute ahead of me. So it's like from the moment that I entered this world on August 21st, 1992, mark it down, important day.
Everybody send Morgan.
The president was born that day.
The president was born. We need a national holiday.
I already have my best friend in the world. You know what I mean? And
you just are. You don't have to prove it.
Yeah. She is the one person on this earth I cannot live without. We talk about this because, and this is going to get morbid, so sorry, but we came into the world together and we talk about the fact that odds we go out together are not great. And I've literally told her, I'm like, I have to go first because I can't live here without, there's no point to it for me without her. Like,
oh.
We are so close. We drive each other crazy too. We definitely fight like sisters, but we're those sisters that we can be at each other's throats. And then 30 seconds later, we're like, so you hungry? Like, so we're very close. And you asked if we were ever competitive. I don't think so. Like, we were really into a lot of the same things growing up. We were into academics and we were cheerleaders. We did that together. And it, you know, I don't think competition has ever really been a thing for us. But I think we went through some things early on in life where we were each other's rock. And so it's always been that sort of relationship between us.
Do you think having a best friend like that, who was your sister, set you up to not feel competitive with other women? Because I feel like you're such a boss, but you're also like, you're just so like a good, like girl, good gal.
That's a really good question. Caroline, do you interview people for a living?
I do. Wow. I find people so fascinating.
I don't really feel like I'm in competition with other women. And I just feel like I'm different. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's okay. Like, I look
How do you
at
feel different.
I and just rough around the edges and always, I'm not the most ultra feminine woman. Like, I have those qualities, but I don't know. I just feel like a little bit of an odd duck in a way, just in general in life. So I never really look at other people as my quote unquote competition, because I never look at someone and go, oh, they're so much like me. Like, we're in such a similar lane. Like, if you have ever followed me on Instagram and saw my stories, like, I just talk about anything and everything and try and keep it as real as possible. But I think I look at life through this interesting lens. So competition with other women has not ever really been something I have feared. I love seeing other women succeed. And I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, like, I just have tears in my eyes when I see Taylor Swift, you know, accept her, like, fourth Grammy. Like, I'm so excited for her. But, like, I'm not, in a sense, daily thinking about competition with other
people. You're just doing you.
I'm just doing me.
You're just kind of following your flow.
Yeah, following my flow. Other people have their things going on, and our lanes are different, and that's cool and what it is.
Speaking of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce,
oh,
can we just talk about it for 1 second? Because it's all I can think about. I spent a whole yoga class just, like, envisioning their life together the other day. That's creepy.
Is that what you're supposed to be thinking about in yoga? Aren't you supposed to be meditating and, like, thinking of nothing?
It was making me so happy, though. Like, I have not been this giddy about a romance in so long, because I'm like, oh my God, Taylor Swift, she has been looking for love her whole life. You can hear it in every song she's ever written. She has tried so hard to date everyone, you know, and, like, really, like, put her heart into it. It's not like she's just, like, she really, like, loves these people. She wants a great relationship. And she's been through so much. And
I relate to her in a lot of ways, to be honest.
But then, like she's had these hard goes with it. And I feel like no one's fully appreciated her. Like, she needs to be appreciated. And then here comes Travis Kelce, this stud, you know, who, like, pursues her. And then
he's really confident in himself. He doesn't, you know.
Got a great family life, you know.
Yeah.
Mama Kelce.
He's got his own things going on. And that's,
brother is adorable.
I love them. Their podcast is so good. But to that point, When I saw this news at the beginning, I was like a lot of people where I thought, is this for press? Is this just PR? And maybe it is. I don't know.
No way. No
way.
But
I am so happy for her.
Me too.
Because look at that man. Look at that man. I've seen footage of him in the locker room and I blush just looking at it on my phone screen. I'm like, I shouldn't be seeing this much chest hair on a man.
Is he naked? Oh, no.
He, like, walked into the... They were, like, shooting something in the locker room, and he walked in. He's, like, literally in his little boxer briefs, and all this chest hair everywhere.
Did you like the chest hair?
I love a little chest hair.
You love some chest hair.
Anyway, so.
A little sweaty.
We're happy for you, Taylor, and I'm not jealous at all.
And he's, like, so tall and strong, and, you know, he probably just, like.
He's a manly man.
He's a manly man with a sweet little adorable personality.
Yeah, I mean.
And also, like, a badass.
He has a sense of humor, you know.
Style.
He seems like someone who doesn't take life too seriously. And I think some of the people she's dated in the past, especially this, like, last relationship she was in, it's someone who's, like, a super duper creative person, which is great in one sense, but they take things so, I mean, I've worked in artist management. They take things so seriously. And sometimes you just need somebody a little bit more
goofy,
lighthearted, isn't, you know, really worried about a headline at the end of the day.
Right. Can laugh at all.
Yeah. And I don't know Taylor's personal life, and I don't want to talk crap about any of her exes, but I am happy to see her with Travis Kelce, a man that's taller than her, a man that makes her feel little.
Uh-huh.
Go, girl.
And I mean, just like, it's so good. I was talking to my neighbor, Miss Patty, about this. We were walking our dogs and we're talking about Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce. And it was like, I'm just so excited to see there's so much bad news all the time. Everyone's talking shit about everything. Like, you know, everyone's fighting. It's just like, there's so much injustice. There's all this negativity out there all the time. And it's like, thank you, Taylor Swift, for letting us see a good old fashioned, beautiful romance just in front of our eyes. It's like, we all just needed to see the best love story. Like, she wrote that song, Love Story. It's like, she's giving us the best love story.
And he pursued her.
I know. It's like, it's perfect. And she's just
men take some notes.
And she's just fit right in with the whole Chiefs kingdom everything. And I'm like, it's so good. It's just peak level good.
I hope, I am a romantic at heart, and I feel like a lot of times the world affirms this belief I have that true love doesn't really exist.
Right.
So seeing them makes me happy. And I know everybody, it's a hot button topic. Some people are tired of seeing it.
But
I'm rooting for them. I'm personally rooting for them.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so that leads me to dating, Morgan.
Oh, God.
Because you are, like, a woman who
last time I checked, I am a woman.
Who is super capable and confident and badass. It's like, you produce the Bobby Bones Show. That's, like, the biggest radio show in country music. Mm. You manage Bobby Bones. That means you got your shit together if you can manage him. Because he's got so much going on.
He does.
And you can navigate all that and handle that. And you understand what he needs.
My eyes twitching, knowing like where she's going. Continue.
You're the president now of a network. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have that responsibility to handle this because you're a badass. So it's like, sometimes it's hard to find guys who are like, I hate this in this day and age, but do you feel like guys are intimidated by that?
I don't know that it's intimidation. I just have a knack of picking guys that aren't good for me.
Your picker's broken?
My picker's a little broken.
But everybody's picker's broken until they pick the right one.
That's true.
You know, sometimes maybe you're just learning what you don't like.
I haven't been in a relationship in like over 2 years, I want to say. And I've not even really, I date here and there.
Do you like make out sometimes?
No.
You don't ever make, I was I'm, such a makeout bandit.
Really? I'm such a prude. I was, oh, I can't say this.
Yes, you
this
can.
I was going to say I was a virgin until I graduated college. Like I like.
Me too.
You were?
Yes.
Girl, I don't know if that means anything.
I wasn't trying to get frisky out there. I mean, I was trying to make out, but I wasn't trying to like.
No, but I literally don't. I don't like being touched really unless I'm super feeling you. You know what I mean? And I don't.
You're like personal boundaries. Like you're not someone who wants to just fawn all over somebody.
Right. I had a guy kiss me on a first date once and that really put me off. I was like, I don't know. And then he ended up not being that great of a guy. Not saying that that's always a correlation and I need to stop using such limiting belief systems sometimes, but
it was too soon.
It was too soon for me, you know, to each their own, but no, I haven't made out with anyone in probably a year.
Oh. Do you feel like that first makeout makes you nervous?
Yeah, I still get giddy and nervous when I'm dating someone new and I get nervous before dates still.
Yeah.
Not because I think there's anything super weird or wrong with me. It's just, are we going to click? Is conversation going to come easier? Is this going to feel like a job interview where I'm trying to pull answers out of him and then he's not turning the questions back on, you know?
Am I going to get food in my teeth or accidentally toot?
Yeah. Because we know I have colon issues.
I mean, I feel like I always have maybe a little toot come out. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So I don't know where we were going with that.
But dating out there.
But dating is weird right now.
And it's like you.
Yeah. I'm on apps.
How do people date on apps? I miss the apps. I miss the apps generation.
I am about to come across this chair and strangle you for dating.
I missed it.
No, it's hard out here in these streets, Caroline.
What is it like in the streets of the apps?
Not great. I mean,
what are people like out there?
Honestly, I need to be less judgmental. I think from some of my previous relationships, I've been a little burned and I need to let that be what it is separately. But I will get on the apps and scroll through and just, I immediately get the ick so easily. Like if I see a guy's taking a selfie in a bathroom,
A selfie in a bathroom?
Yeah, like a mirror selfie.
Oh, like with a shirt off?
And I can see a toilet in the background and, you know, shirt off selfies. There's so
many. Why does a toilet throw you off?
I'm just like,
you should have tried harder.
You went into this bathroom to take the photo or to like use a bathroom. I don't know.
It's like the two don't mesh.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing in there?
Yeah.
You know, I just imagine if I was at the house with someone like that and they're in the bathroom and I think they're like going number two and really they're in there like
taking a selfie,
trying to get the right angle. I don't know. Yeah, something about that doesn't sit right with me.
It's not the right room to take the selfie. Yeah, I feel you.
Okay. Anyway, I'm being judgmental.
It's hard not to be when you're out there on the streets.
But I think I've been through enough that I feel like I have to be judgmental and not give people the benefit of the doubt anymore because that has gotten me in the past.
You know what Jesse James Decker told me? I told you this in the hallway. Or I told Abby this. Anyway.
Remind me because okay. I think I remember, but remind me.
Well, and Jesse, I feel like she is pretty good on love. Like she's like a connoisseur of love.
And look at
like.
Her man.
And she manifested Eric Decker.
Jesse, I mean, we love it for you, girl. No wonder you're having all those kids.
Exactly. No wonder you got that fourth baby coming. Because you'd be fine. But Jesse told me, she said, when I was out there on the streets making out, which you're not, you're on the streets with the apps, but I was like going on dates because you had to go to bars because like people didn't know how to, you had to meet them in the flesh, you know?
Right.
Couldn't get the full resume picture update and the bullet points of who this person was. It's like, oh, there you are.
Which is kind of scary. People were dating and just not knowing who the person really was at all or having no background. But continue,
now you get a full background. Like you get a full like bullet point press shot of who this person is. And then you just like,
very
wild. But she was like, Caroline, have you written your letter to God?
You told me.
Yes. And she said, you have to write your letter to God and you have to talk about in the present tense, like, dear God, thank you so much for my incredible. I mean, this is cheesy. And like, listen, some girls are like, vomit. Like,
so write like you already have him.
Yes. And it's like, I think it's still okay to be a female and want some good old fashioned romance and love. That doesn't mean that you're not a badass at the same time, but like everybody wants, I mean, back to Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce. Everybody wants some good old romance and love.
Everybody wants a little chest hair in their life.
Everybody wants some chest hair in their life. So there ain't nothing wrong with trying to visualize what it is that your particular soul is craving. And so basically you write a letter to God and you say, "Dear God," and you write in present tense, you're like, "Thank you so much for
this fine ass man, Father God. Thank you.
This fine ass man, Father God, with all this chest hair, who is so funny and treats me like a queen." And we, and then you like list what you love to do together and how he loves to take bike rides with me in the evening. And we like to listen to Mozart and da da da, or whatever, whatever, whatever weird little things.
Mozart.
Whatever weird little like
quirks
that you find that you would find enjoyable with a partner forever.
I'm just thinking of all the things I could write in this letter.
You just need to write it.
He likes to lick whipped cream off my toes, Father God.
No, are you a toe girl?
No, not really, but I'm just,
but you're open.
Never say never.
I've only had one person try to lick my toe before, and I have to tell you, it caught me off guard.
I was not ready for that. Were your feet clean?
Yeah. I mean, they were, I guess. I'd been out in shoes all night.
I guess if you're to that point with the person, it's
I
like,
really wasn't to that point with the God. Person. We, I told you, I like to make out. That was it. So then
so you're making out with him and all of a sudden he's popping happens. The toe in his
yeah.
mouth. Oh, man. To be a fly on the wall on that interaction.
It was a little.
I don't think I've ever had a man put my toe in his mouth. So if you want to be the first, apply below.
Middays with Morgan. She's going to give us the update, which is going to lead us to our podcast, which she's going to be launching soon. Called Middays with Morgan.
We shall see. Nothing in stone.
Morgan,
girl.
You have
anyway,
to.
Back to toes. Toes
anyway,
and feet.
Anyway, back to toes. So, yeah. So dating out there. So now you write this letter to God, and then you put down all the things that you're so grateful to have. Mm-hmm. And then it makes it super clear to what you want. And so then when the person comes into your life, or when you date someone, you're like, "Oh my gosh, that person's not anything that I want." Mm-hmm. So you can easily swipe left.
I had this friend.
Which is no.
Yeah. Pass. I had this friend that this reminds me, her name's Emma, and she's John Chris' sister, Emma.
Oh, the comedian.
Yeah. And love her. She was in a small group with me, and she, I believe, journaled about her future husband, or like wrote this letter to God, I want to say. And her dad married her and her husband when they got married, but this was before she'd ever met him, I want to say. And he read her letter to God like at the wedding ceremony, and Eli, her now husband, checked every single box.
See?
And
see?
I remember I was in a bad relationship at the time.
You're like, this is not the letter to God I would be writing.
And I was like, wow, I have chills right now because she prayed that prayer and she had a long list. You know, it would have been very easy for one or two of those boxes to not be checked. And God checked every single one. So God, I have seen what you have done for others. I will be
writing
my letter later today.
Yes.
But funny is key. I got to have a man that can make me laugh.
Because you're funny. You like to laugh and be funny.
I like to play. Like, I like to be lighthearted. And I've dated some people that are so funny. And so when you have someone that you could just banter with and jive with, when you don't have that,
it's
we're all going to die. Like,
let's,
you know,
laugh,
let's just laugh a little on the way there. You know, gosh. So anyway.
Okay, so funny. And then what about like kids being married? Like, you know, because we're at the age now where people are.
I think I would be a lovely stepmother.
I'm
a great aunt, and I love my nephews so much, and they're not my biological children, even though, like, kind of, because Megan's my twin, but whatever.
Yeah.
I do think I had step parents in the picture growing up, and I got to see good examples of being a step parent and like not so great examples. And I think that I'm open to, I think God is going to bring the right man in his time. That's why I haven't really written the letter, because I have been out in these streets and dated, and I know what it looks like when it's just you've gone through this with fertility and things, like when you're trying to force something to happen that God is just very clearly saying, "Sister,
sit down.
Your action ain't going to change my plan." You know, so.
Ooh, your action ain't going to change my plan.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm kind of taking a back seat. I think I need to probably be a little bit more open.
Just write the letter to God.
I will. Okay.
That's all you got to do.
I'm on it. It's got to be funny. You got to be tall. Well, he didn't really have to be tall.
Just taller.
You know, taller than me. I'm 5'4". That's not hard.
Yeah.
And then somebody who will be a great father. I feel like I'm seeing a lot in my life now that I am getting a little bit older of like the women in my life are really like carrying so much weight in being moms, and the dads have it so much, quote unquote, easier. And I have so much going on in my professional life that I'm going to have a man in the picture that wants to be an active participant in his children's lives, or I just don't want to have them. So that's a big one for me. And then obviously faith. You know,
tell me about your faith.
You know, it's been a little roller coaster ride, but I love the Lord, and I think the Lord loves me most days. Some days
He always loves you.
Some days I struggle, and
when you struggle, what are you struggling with?
Oh gosh, the idea that God is always good has been something that comes up for me because I've lived through some pretty difficult seasons. That didn't make sense. And it always comes back to, yes, God is good. But I have days where I really am like, God, you know, I already went through this back then. Like, why am I in this seat again? And so that's my humanness. You know, I'm human, and God knows like where my heart is and my thoughts. And he knows at the end of the day, I'm a ride or die for him, but I have my hard days. And I think you're lying if you say you don't, but
that just means you have a real relationship.
Yeah. I developed a real relationship with the Lord probably in my early mid 20s.
What do you think prompted it?
I kind of hit some lows personally. I'd gone through a relationship that didn't work out. And heartbreak has sort of been the hard part of my life. I think God or life, whatever you want to say, grants us a different deck of cards for each person, right? Like my sister struggled with, you know, her miscarriage, and you've gone through struggles with miscarriage. My struggle has been relationships with men. So not that like they've all been awful, but I have been heartbroken a couple times in life. And I think I went through this heartbreak where I was like, wow, I thought that was your plan for me. And I do not really understand at all how it isn't. I dated this guy I thought I was going to marry, and it didn't work out. And he's married now and happy for him. That gave me a lot of closure. You know what I mean? But I think, yeah, going through thinking you know the direction God is leading you, and then sometimes a door gets slammed and you think, wow, like why let me go through that? That's kind of mean. But
what have you learned on the other side of it after going through that? Why do you think you were able to go through that?
I think any hardship we go through in life, hopefully we can use to be more empathic for others who are also going through hardship. I think God wants us to be connected with one another. Jesus struggled. Jesus went through so many trials and tribulations. And at the end of the day, my faith leads me to believe that we're meant to be more like Christ, and Christ didn't have an easy life. We will not have an easy life here. And that's sort of how I reconcile it in my brain of, now I can look somebody in the eye who has lost a person that they thought would be there forever and have a real talk with them, you know, that I wouldn't have been able to have that conversation prior to that heartbreak. I mean, that doesn't make me like the fact that I went through it, but you're not going to get through this life without being scathed a little bit.
It comes for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know.
It does. And it's I feel like I've noticed when you have early trauma, like when you have like childhood trauma and you are it starts your wiring. Like sometimes, like I feel like especially when we watch like child entertainers and all sorts of stuff, when people like have childhood trauma that happens to them, it is, you have to like have this moment where you realize like life doesn't have to be that way because like you've started off in the world thinking that it's traumatic, you know? And like, because everyone's going to get it, but like when you're older and you hit trauma, you're like, okay, I know that this isn't me per se. I'm just going through it, if that makes sense. You have a little bit more awareness maybe that like the trauma isn't only who you are.
I definitely have my fair share of childhood trauma. And I think that that has been the
hardest. Your parents split early, right?
My parents were like 2021 when, and they were on
Wait,
again.
2021, like recently?
No, they were like 20 or 21 years old. Okay. I think when they got pregnant with me and my twin sister, and they were one of those on again, off again couples. So probably had no business having children, you know, but
y'all needed to be here.
Here I am. So yeah, that has been such a journey. You know, I remember.
You've been following their love life with them.
Yeah, and theirs was short-lived. Like, I remember them dating other people before they actually got married to each other. So we were a couple years old, me and my twin sister, before they got married.
Oh, so they got pregnant, broke up, dated other people, then got back together.
Yeah, and their marriage, I hope, sorry, mom and dad, I hope I'm not throwing you under the bus right now, but it wasn't great. They were kids trying to figure out how to be married and how to be parents. And I have so much empathy for them now. Like,
even imagine?
I've got 10 years on them right now. And I don't know that I would have done anything any better or different. But
right.
Then, you know, they dated other people and got married to my stepdad and stepmom that were in the picture from the time me and Megan were like in fifth grade to junior of high school. And then my mom struggled with some things, so we moved in with our dad, and both of them went through divorces at the same time, my junior year of high school, from the step-parents that have been in the picture.
That you were close with.
That, I was close with. And so by the time I turned 17, I'd lived through three divorces.
And you just lose the step-parents, I guess, right?
Well, actually, I still keep in touch with my former stepdad, Tommy. I love him to death. He was such a great parent figure, and love him. Love you, Tommy. But yeah, I think I learned at an early age, or it was ingrained in me through that childhood trauma that we call it, that things are temporary. People are temporary. And no matter how solid something feels, it'll end. And
that's a hard blow
to
learn.
And I still struggle. I mean,
that's hard.
The heartaches I've gone through in my 20s are nothing compared to that, like you said, that early wiring. It is so hard. I've gone to therapy. I've read books. And I still...
It wires your nervous system.
Oh, majorly. And I love my parents. I wouldn't change my story because I don't think I'm here today. I don't think I am the person I am without all of this. But it is so hard to overcome things that we're just ingrained in you from a young age.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you and Meg were so tight.
So tight. We were each other's rock.
We're weathering that. The Lord knew you
knew.
Needed each
he
other.
Knew. And I'm thankful because we talk about it still of, wow, that was just a wild time in life, especially high school. You know, we're going through puberty. Like, mom is separating from stepdad. Dad's separating from stepmom. Like, we feel kind of like it's our fault in a way because we disrupted the ecosystem from moving out of moms and moving into dads. And now all of a sudden that has caused everyone to get, there was a lot to
it. You have a lot of pressure on yourself as a young kid.
Yeah. I grew up so early, Caroline.
I am not a doctor, but you might have, that might be some of your stomach stuff, like carrying some nervous energy.
I had to have a stomach scope in high school because I was having such bad stomach problems, and they went away after I moved off to college, because I was finally in a stable situation that wasn't just stressing me out all the time.
Yeah.
And I love my parents.
And your parents did the best they could.
They did the best they could with the tools they had. Things, times have just changed so much, you know?
I mean, nobody knew anything back then.
Yeah. And
I mean, anything. Nobody talked about mental health back then. Nobody, like, divorce. It's just, the whole thing was like, there was just not a lot of awareness about relationships and how to be in them.
Yeah.
We've come a long way.
We, you know? We
Our
definitely
parents tried.
They did their best.
They did their best.
And when I struggle with anger or hard feelings about it, I go back to, we're all doing this for the first time. This is their first time at life too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We're all, it is not easy for any of us. And I'm by no means perfect. Like, so I have a lot of empathy at the end of the day and love them so much. I had, in ways, I had a great childhood. So I don't just want to chalk it up to like I had this terrible upbringing, but there was a lot of hard times. So it shaped me for sure.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let me ask you a few more questions here,
okay,
Morgan. Okay, since you work with celebrities, we're going to do a few celebrity questions. What is the favorite celebrity that you've met personally?
Lainey Wilson.
Tell me why.
She is, and I know she's getting a lot of flack right now for her Grammy win.
Why is she getting flack?
Well, yeah, I think there are a lot of people who don't think that she deserved that award.
Because she's just so new still?
Because they think maybe Zach Bryan or fill in the blank
would have been nominated.
Yeah, or fill in the
Kelsey Ballerini and Lainey Wilson were the only two candidates in my opinion. So I don't even know who else is on the
ballot. Well, I'm a fan of all the candidates. I just want to throw that out there. But
who else is on there? Zach Bryan.
Tyler Childers. I'm a massive Tyler Childers fan. I bought the merch for Tyler Childers. I've been to the shows. So as I say this, like, I think Lainey is such a genuine person. I led the interns at my management company for a few semesters, and we would have guest speakers come in and talk to our interns. And this is after Lainey is blowing up. She volunteered her time to come and sit with our interns for an hour. And she didn't have to do that. Nobody, you know, until I'm talking about now, no one knew she, you know, did that. There's not like there was any.
She didn't do it for the press of it to let everyone know she went to talk to interns.
There's no kickback in that for her.
She didn't make a TikTok story and say, look at me talking to the interns.
Yeah.
She just did it.
She just, I've met her a handful of times now. And every time I just go, man, I hope she stays as genuine. And I think she will, like, as genuine as she is. I think that this industry can definitely jade you, and, you know, you're jaded and you start to think like, your shit don't stink, some people. And I don't think Lainey Wilson will ever be one of those people.
I don't feel like she will either.
Love you, Lainey.
What makes a good celebrity?
What makes a good celebrity? I think kind of like what I was saying with Lainey, like keeping both feet on the ground. I think, you know, there are massive celebrities that we know their names, like Lady Gaga and these people that you know of. But the ones that really stick with me are the ones who seem like actual real people and stay in touch with who they were when they were nobody. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think at the end of the day, the best celebrities I've met are like the Tim McGraws and the Keith Urbans. And there's a reason they are so huge. It's because they treat people with kindness and look at you in the eye when you're the nobody producer and shake your hand and ask you how your morning's going. Like,
they also know what it's like to be at the top and the bottom.
Yeah. A good celebrity is one that doesn't act like they are a celebrity, in my opinion.
Truly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Say, because really at the end of the day, it is just a job. Yes, you are a brand. Okay, so that's another thing I want to ask you. How do you make a strong brand? Like, how do you know how to brand yourself? Okay, I wrote this down because, what do you need to have a strong brand and following? Like, what are keys? Even because, like, there's people like yourself who aren't even trying to be an artist or anything, but you have a strong brand and following.
I think it's knowing who you are and what you're good at.
How do you find that out?
Kind of like Middays, right? That originated.
Talk just about where Middays came from, because it's going to be blowing up into a podcast.
Oh, we don't know that. Okay, so I do this little series on my Instagram where I just hop on my stories and I do quote unquote Middays with Morgan. I just talk about what's on my mind that day, or a story I've seen, or a clip that makes me laugh and I just want to make fun of. Like, and that kind of originated out of, I had worked this creative job on the morning show, and then I moved into a slightly less creative job in artist management, you know, and still have always had that piece of me that wants to create and like make people feel good and, you know, and I just started that on a whim one day, and it has gotten so much. I'm small potatoes and I know that, but I have a little community. And
you do have a community.
And I think it was, this tracks with people because I'm just being authentic and talking like how you would talk to your friend about, did you see that headline? And like, what was that person thinking? You know, so as far as branding goes, I think you see some artists get messed up when they start trying to be something they're not because they think that that's what will sell or what's going to resonate with the audience. When at the end of the day, I would rather have 80,000 followers on TikTok being my authentic self and have 8 million, you know, trying to be someone totally different to fit, you know, whatever little box that I feel like I need. Yeah. So I think.
But it's knowing yourself. That's the key.
It's knowing yourself. It's having a vision. Look at Kacey Musgraves. She knows who she is. She knows the kind of music she wants to make. Mm. When she drops a teaser for a project, oh my goodness. You know that when she was in the vision boarding of writing out that latest video she's put out, she just knew in her mind what
What's
it looked like
video?
Already. She's posted a teaser video for some new music. Casey,
I'm fired up about it.
We share a birthday, me and Casey Musgraves.
Y'all are basically twins.
And Alex Cooper, by the way, of Call Her Daddy.
You, Casey.
So this is a fitting career for me.
Powerful people are born on
August the 21st.
Alex Cooper, Casey Musgraves, and Morgan Massengill.
But talk about two women who know who the hell they are and are doing what they do.
Exactly. And three women who know who the hell they are.
Okay, girl. But yeah, I think not everybody is a star, and that's okay too. You know, when you have to meld yourself to be something entirely different for the accolades, are they fucking worth it? I don't think so.
Well, and everybody is a star when they find what they're good at.
Right. We all have a passion and a purpose. It's just,
and you can be a star now. Anybody can be a star if you figure that out, and you can make a brand, you know, like you can put it out there
And try things.
Yeah. Okay. So you've pivoted a lot. Like did you start as an intern?
Mm-hmm.
So you started as an intern.
Yeah.
Working for the Bobby Bone Show.
Mm-hmm.
Was that nerve-wracking?
So Bobby came and spoke at my university in, I want to say 2013. So it's been over a decade now. And I literally was in the girls' restroom in the communications building at MTSU. Had to pee. And was in the big stall, which I shouldn't have been because I'm not handicapped and I'm probably going to get canceled for admitting this. But there was a flyer on the bathroom stall that Bobby was coming to speak at our school. And I wasn't in the club. I didn't know a lot about Bobby at that time, but I knew he was a radio personality. And I went and listened, and it was the first time I felt like, oh, this is someone who could be a mentor to me, because he had come from nothing. You know, his mom struggled with addiction. Like, I have a mom that struggled with, alcoholism. And I saw a lot of him and me and him. And I didn't include any of that in the email because that would have been weird. But I stayed up that night after I heard him speak and worked on my resume to make it sound like I had any idea of what I was doing in radio.
So you're what, like 19 at this point? 20?
Yeah, I was probably 20 or so, and sent an email in and got an interview with producer Elena, and she was like, okay, you could start next semester. And I was like, no, I'll start like next week. And that's just always how I approached it, of what will you let me do? And I will do that plus whatever else you will let me do. Like, I was constantly just trying to learn this industry, regardless if I wasn't getting paid at the time.
What did you want to know about it? Like, why did you have a fire so bad?
I felt aligned. I felt like God threw me a nugget. He threw me a little nug.
What does alignment feel like?
I didn't know what I wanted to do with life. I had changed my major a couple of times, and it's a lot to ask an 18-year-old to just figure it out. You know what I mean? Goodness. And
most people just can't, even at any age, just figure it out, especially at 18.
I think I was getting on the right path, but I don't think I fully knew what I wanted to do. And then Bobby came and spoke, and it just clicked into place.
You just knew.
I just knew.
Do you think y'all were meant to be? Like, it was like, because that's probably what happened so quickly, too. I feel like when things are aligned, it happens fast.
This room that we're sitting in, before Bobby came and spoke at my school, I actually won tickets to come see, I want to say, Cassidy Pope perform here. And I was just a college kid, hadn't met Bobby, hadn't heard him speak, anything like that yet. And I sat in this room, like watching someone else on this stage when I was in college. And now look.
God, man.
Like,
isn't that crazy?
And then a few weeks later, Bobby came and spoke at my school. So I feel like God was literally like, girl, here's the breadcrumb. Come take it. You know, it takes a lot in life to have things align the way that they're supposed to. It's like,
but then when they do,
you just feel it in your bones. And I had people telling me when I was interning here, because I wasn't getting paid, I had to work another job to be able to afford the gas to drive from Murfreesboro to Nashville. And I had people in my life tell me it was a waste of time. And, you know, I'm sure people listening to this can relate that not everyone is going to understand the path and the journey that you're on. But if you just know, there's no negating that, you know. Even my dad, God love him, but when I graduated high school, I gotten hired part-time here answering the phones. So my last semester of college, Abby, how deep into this are we? Are we like an hour and a half in?
No,
53. Okay.
Oh, great. Okay,
goodness
great.
Gracious. look at me, like, still thinking of, like, are we tracking? Are we on the right timeline? But I was driving here 5 days a week. My last semester of college, I had gotten finally hired and on the payroll. That first check, it was nothing, but man, it felt good. And I remember just not sleeping at all that semester, really. I was driving here 5 days a week before the sun was up. It was a 45-minute drive each way from where I live to get here every morning.
And you were excited?
I was so excited. And then I was answering the phones, which Abby can tell you is a grueling job. And then I would drive back to Murfreesboro and take afternoon. I was full-time in school still. So I would take afternoon and night classes. And then I would get three, sometimes 4 hours of sleep on a good night and get up and do it again. And I remember my dad telling me when I graduated, I did move to Antioch after I graduated college, so less of a commute. He was like, you would make more working at a Dick's Sporting Goods and like full time than what you're doing here, like working part time. And loved my dad, but I just knew that was bad advice. You know, he wasn't telling me to work at Dick's. He was telling me
to make more money,
to use my degree to like go be a news anchor or something. And I just knew at the end of the day, I didn't want to do that. So I just trusted my intuition. I had to work some other jobs to make ends meet for a while, but then it started coming together. And when it started coming together, I could start looking around being like, remember when you said, remember when you said that it wouldn't work out. Well.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
So, and sometimes you, I mean, a lot of times you got to, especially I feel like when you're working with a personality, you know, like Bobby Bones in particular, he's a big personality. Like, he's going to want to, like, know how someone operates too. It's not like you can just have anybody work on a team, because the brand is the human. And the human.
Me and Bobby are so much alike, it's kind of scary.
So you can, like, read his mind.
Not read his mind, but the way that we, he, childhood trauma, see childhood trauma. The way we process things is, we're different. We got a ton of differences, don't get me wrong. But like, I just know where his head's at, because that's where mine would be. You know what I mean?
So you know how to make, and then you know how to make good decisions, like to help guide the ship.
Yeah. And I always have, and this is, every manager should have this, I feel like I always have his best interest at heart at the end of the day. So.
So you make the decisions like you would make them for yourself. With, like,
because I am making them for myself at the end of the day, like what he does reflects on me and vice versa. So
is that pressure? Does that feel like a lot of pressure?
No,
it feels easy.
There's trust there. Yeah.
Trust is, do you think trust is almost more important than skill set? Because you can kind of learn a skill, right?
You need both. You need both.
You do. You need. So what are the skills that you need to be savvy like you are and run high-powered radio show, produce it?
So I no longer do that. Let's give flowers to Scuba Steve. He is the executive producer of the morning show now and does a great job doing it. But
what does it take, though, to navigate that? Because it's like, it's all the personalities. It's Bobby, it's Amy, it's Eddie, it's Lunchbox, it's Ray, you know, it's like Morgan. It's like all these personalities. You've got to, like, know what's good for each one of them. Set them up for success. Like, create the little bits that are going to, like, work to their strengths, you know? It's like so much of it is knowing the ecosystem.
It's knowing the ecosystem, but it's really just putting the effort into knowing each individual.
Yeah.
And what suits them best. You know, if we would get an email for, you know, we want Bobby to read this endorsement about alcohol, I'd be like, well, that ain't going to happen. But you know who would be great for that? But that's just such a small example. It's just knowing who you're working with. And even in artist management, you know, I've worked with JD Clayton and some other artists. It's knowing who they are and what their goal is and aligning with their vision. And if you can't align with their vision, you don't need to be working with them.
So do you think having, like, not that you have to have, like, a mission statement or a vision statement, but, like, do you think knowing what the vision is, like, where, what road are you on and where is this train trying to get to, is the most important thing?
Yeah, I think we have, always working with an artist, working on a show, you know your overarching goals, right? You know, this is the box we want to check at the end of the day, and what are, and then you strategize what are the steps to get there. And I don't do this all on my own. I mean, it takes a village and a team. You know, when I worked on the radio show, I had great help, like producer Abby over here off camera.
What's up, Abby?
What's up, Abby? And, you know, all of the people that make that morning show run, Mike D, now Scuba. I worked with Hillary back in the day, who's a producer. It takes a village. It's not like any one person. Ray, oh my gosh, Ray, like, did he even sleep? Does he sleep? I don't know. But it just takes teamwork. And also, I, you know, I wasn't always perfect. I had to learn through some situations of how to manage people. I was really young when I got the head producer position. You know, I was in my early 20s, and I'm like running this show of people who were 10 years older than me,
all over the United States.
And there were some growing pains, you know.
Did you feel the pressure of, like,
for sure,
how big the show was?
For sure. When I was in my early 20s producing the morning show, that was a stressful time when I first got into it, before I found my stride, because it felt off to me to be telling people older than me what to do. But again, I think what I've learned is, once you get to know the individual, get to know Lunchbox, get to know what his goals are and what he wants to achieve, And then let him genuinely see, like, I want you to achieve your goals. It's not my goal to, you know, same with anyone on the show or with the artists I've managed, like aligning on that vision and strategize. It's what we've done.
So aligning, you're really good at aligning. You're good at aligning people.
I guess.
You are.
But we met and you talked through what you wanted. I don't even think you had a fully clear vision of what you wanted to change.
That night, I think even that night, you sent me a video. It was at night and it was cold and you had your socks on just like this. And you're like, well, I set up a makeshift studio. It's not perfect, but it's going to be great. And like you did that the first day. And then like we had written a whole script of like a format now, how to follow and like target guests. And it's like within like less than 8 hours, you had sent me a full recap.
But when I put my mind to something, I'm not the best. There could be anyone in this seat. You know, it's not like I'm just the best of the best. But when I set my mind to something, I was this way in college. I've been this way pretty much my whole life. There's good luck stopping me. And I've already had some people that like have, you know, said things that have been discouraging, like stepping in this role. But then I'm like, just sit back and watch. Like I've seen people that be like, oh, he interviewed all these people. And then he goes with the girl he knows. Oh, makes a lot of sense. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, well, so you got a peanut gallery too.
Yeah. We all got a peanut gallery.
I knew some people applying for this job. Cause I mean, this was a highly coveted job. I mean, the people that I knew applying were like legit, too legit to quit, you know? So it's like, yeah, you got people weighing it. Exactly. Yeah.
But with me, and I'm not saying any of these other candidates wouldn't have had this. I truly have always had this mentality. No job is too big or small. It wasn't above my pay grade to break my back to bring this furniture in here and set it up and get everything looking the way that I think it should look. And
you want your vision.
I wasn't going to wait on somebody to do that, to align five, a crew to like get this done. Like I just, when I have something in my mind and I know that it's a thing that needs to happen,
you're going
to
get it done.
I'm going to get it done.
So you can create clear pictures. So you're like going back to this, you're really good at aligning. When you get clear, when you assess the situation and the job and then you figure out how you can get clear on it, you can execute it.
I think so. Yeah.
You're good at creating the mental picture.
I'm still learning. Like I don't have this fully fleshed out idea of what everything's going to look like. I'm trying to get a vibe for, okay, who's everybody we have on the slate right now? Slate meaning the network. You, we have Amy's podcast, we have the Bobbycast, we have several others. And just making sure that, are we firing on all cylinders on all these shows? And if not, what are the things we can do to tune it up? And I think that's not a hard thing to do, to see that big picture.
It is, though. It's harder than one might think. To like, it's a lot of little plates to, if your brain is the brain for it, because it's not hard for you when you get in there. But it's like painting a picture.
It is.
You know?
Yeah.
And some people are really bad
artists.
But we're
not the first to do it. You know, there are tons of podcasts out there. You could see what's working and what's not working. And
but then being able to assess and apply, you know?
Yeah.
And readjust where you need to.
And we're learning together.
I'm having so much fun.
Me too.
It's the best.
Am I your new co-host? What's going
on? I kind of was thinking we might be right. Maybe.
We'll talk about it.
Okay. We could, you know, brainstorm later. Okay. So let me ask you a few more questions. So we're going to wrap up. Tell me two things.
Okay.
What is right with the world and what is wrong with the world?
Oh God. All right. Well, what is right with the world? I think, I love this question. I think that's a TikTok trend, by the way.
Oh,
I see a lot of goodness in the world. You know, I see a lot of people helping their neighbor. You know, we just had this big snow and I saw people help, you know, I have some elderly neighbors and I saw the guy across the street, like helping them shovel their drive. Like, I think as dark as things seem and like the news is dark, there seems to be so much negativity and divide and all these things, at the root of us as human beings, we are so similar to anybody we come in contact with. Like we share so many more similarities than we do differences. And I think sometimes we all get caught up on the differences end. But yeah, I think that overall, humanity is there and we lose that to all that divide I was talking about of actually seeing it. But if you're looking for it, you'll see it. So yeah.
If everyone in the world did this, it would be a much better place.
Helped old people at the airport. I cannot tell you how many times I've been at the airport recently and there's been a little old lady struggling with her bag and people sometimes get tuned into their own thing, and I'm guilty of this too, but PSA, be helping our elders and those that are in need of help at the airport, because that's a hard place to, for a lot of people to navigate. And while I do it all the time, I have to remind myself, this is probably this person's first flight in a decade or something, you know, mm-hmm. and she's dragging her bag that doesn't roll because she didn't know to get a rolly bag. And I'm about to carry it to her gate. And that doesn't make me a good person. It means I'm being a good, like,
just
this,
human.
This humanity is just human. And so
what it, humanity
next
should
time
be.
You're at the airport and you're not rushing to your gate, because let's face it, we all get to our gate. We get to the airport, we walk up to our gate, we stare at it, and we're like, this is the gate. What now? And then we walk around aimlessly for a little bit. Spend that time looking for people that need help, because
sweet,
I always see people at the airport that need help for whatever reason.
I love that. Okay, we're going to wrap up with talking about your colon.
Oh, God.
How are you feeling? Because you're getting a colonoscopy tomorrow. You've been talking about it.
We teased this a long time ago. What if we just forgot to talk about it?
That would be a real big letdown.
We would have had to go over notes after. I'm getting a colonoscopy on Friday. I've had some not so great tummy issues for 2 years.
Because you've had anxiety before, but this is escalated.
This is different than the anxiety. Okay. Like about 2 years ago, things just sort of changed with my habits. And I don't want to get too in the weeds, but going more often some days, going just dealing with the tummy girl issues. And then recently, there's been some blood present. Mm-hmm. And that has been scary. That has scared me enough to go, okay, this ain't normal. So, yeah, I have a colonoscopy, and I made the mistake of going through this TikTok wormhole of apparently a ton of young people are being diagnosed with colon cancer these days. And my generation, our generation is 2 times more likely. Don't quote me. I mean, this is just what I'm seeing on TikTok, so I'm not a professional, but 2 times more likely or so to develop colon cancer earlier than our parents' generation. And right now it's not even encouraged to get a colonoscopy until you're 45, but so many people are being diagnosed younger. So I do think that will end up changing to a younger age, but I have seen these videos. I'm like, man, I have every single symptom of that. And I'm just hoping that I'm an IBS girly and they can get me on a better path, because it's starting to impact my day-to-day life. I'm not doing things because my stomach is messed up, and it's just mm-hmm. not a good way to live. So
I'm sorry,
it's
Morgan.
Okay. I mean, I still have quality of life. I don't want to act like it's just terrible, but
when your physical health is compromised on some level, it changes everything.
Yeah. There's some mornings where I'm like, this is a work from home morning. Cause I just, my stomach is so messed up, I can't even get out the door. You know what I mean? So it's definitely,
have you noticed with certain foods it's different?
No, that's another thing, is I can't really pinpoint it to a certain food. So I'm hoping to get some positive answers.
Everyone listening, send Morgan all your good vibes.
Well, by the time this comes out, the colonoscopy will have happened, I think.
It will.
So maybe we'll have an update.
We'll do an update.
Hopefully a good one.
It will be good, Morgan. It's going to be so good.
Let's hope.
It's going to be great.
But
just being brave. I know you're nervous.
If anything, if you're listening and you've had some symptoms you've just mentally been putting off, because that's exactly what I did for 2 years, just do your due diligence and go get checked out. Peace of mind is better than continuing to suffer. And,
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, though. It's hard to take the plunge when you're wait, I need mm-hmm. to actually check this out. It's not just nothing.
Right. Hopefully it's nothing.
It is nothing. No, but yeah, it is totally nothing. But it's so much better just to get it looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
I'm such a worrier. It'll be good to know one way or the other.
Well, thank you for your honesty.
You're welcome.
Thank
this has been so fun. I was so scared.
I know you were. And I said, do not worry.
Well, the last couple of episodes, I've had to pull out Kleenex for our guests. I'm like, oh my God, is Caroline going to make me cry? I don't want to cry on the internet. But I will.
But I will. I just think you're a fascinating human. And
I think you're fascinating. You're really good at these heart-to-heart conversations, by the way. If I haven't said it enough,
thanks, President. I can really use that affirmation.
You're super easy to talk to, and I feel like you're such a positive person. I listen to you interview other people, and you're observant, and you're always pointing out the things about them that may not be obvious to them that are their little good little quirks and qualities. So I appreciate that about you.
Thank you. Well, I am truly fascinated by humans, And especially someone like yourself who's had such a life. I mean, starting off twin life, that's fascinating in itself. But we just only talked about that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then going through all the stuff with your parents, step parents, into these high profile jobs, being a woman, you know, it's like in this industry, it's a lot.
And then Travis Kelce and chest hair. We covered all our bases.
And then I was dying to talk to you about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce because I just need a gush. And
yeah.
You were here for it.
I'm a woman. I see him, you know, with the chest hair. I get it.
Okay. Well, I always wrap up with Leave Your Light.
Okay.
And I have loved this so much, Morgan. Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
And pushing through your nerves. But what do you want people to know?
What do I want people to know? I want people to know that when you wake up on those days where you think, what is the point of all this? And I don't like the shoes I'm in today. I don't like this because I have a great life, but we all go through those moments where
human
we go,
moments.
This isn't what I would have written. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely know what you're talking about.
When you wake up in those shoes and in that mentality, please know that you're going to laugh again, you're gonna smile, you're gonna genuinely feel joy again. That is temporary, and you need to be here. I think that's what I would tell people.
I love that, Morgan. Okay, you're the best, Morgan Massengill, the president of the Nashville Podcast, Texas, from Milan,
Milan,
Texas,
Milan, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I'm not a Texan. I mean, no hate to Texans.
I'm a Texan.
Okay. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Love to Texas, but I'm a Tennessee girl.
Listen, we Tennessee and Texas people proud where we're from. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. I think I'm going to stick around for maybe a bonus episode that'll come
There's
out.
There's my president reminding me what's next.
We got a tease, girl.
We have a bonus episode coming up where we're going to do a call, Caroline. And that's we're going to call Caroline. We're going to ask your board. We're going to call Caroline. We're going to ask your burning questions.
We're going to ask your boring questions. We're going to get to all your boring questions.
We're going to ask your burning questions, and Morgan's going to answer them.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like a Middays with Morgan session on a call, Caroline. So you're not going to want to miss this.
It's going to be good.
Coming up on Thursday.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story. One passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.